It's the Reader's Notebook for Tuesday, February 17th, 2015. Today is the 82nd anniversary of the first publication of Newsweek, the American news magazine founded in 1933. Its print edition is available in English in the United States, Pakistan, Europe, the Middle East, and Africa. It's also available in Japanese, Polish, Korean, and Spanish. It is the second largest news weekly magazine in the U.S., having trailed Time both in circulation and advertising revenue for most of its existence. Between 2008 and 2012, Newsweek underwent several changes intended to shift its focus and its audience and improve its finances at the same time. But things got worse. Revenues had dropped 38% by 2009, and the magazine was sold. Over the next couple of years, different marketing strategies were considered, and in October 2012, it was announced that Newsweek would cease print publication at the end of the year and switch to an all-digital format. A year later, the magazine was acquired by yet another owner who resumed a print edition just under a year ago. Newsweek was launched in 1933 by Thomas Martin, a former editor for Time. He obtained financial backing from a group of young venture capitalists who invested around $2.5 million to get the magazine up and running. In 1937, Newsweek merged with another weekly journal called Today, which had been founded in 1932 by future New York governor and diplomat Averell Harriman and Vincent Astor, whose father, John Jacob Astor IV, went down with the Titanic in 1912. As a result of the deal, they put $600,000 into the magazine's operation, and Astor became both the chairman of the board and its principal stockholder from 1937 until his death in 1959. Astor hired Malcolm Muir as editor-in-chief. Muir emphasized interpretive stories over the just-the-facts-ma'am approach of straight reporting. He also introduced signed columns and launched international editions. Over time, the magazine developed a broad spectrum of material from breaking stories and analysis to reviews and commentary. The magazine was purchased by the Washington Post Company in 1961. Edward Cosner became editor in 1975 after directing the magazine's extensive coverage of the Watergate scandal that led to the resignation of President Richard Nixon in 1974. In recent years, Newsweek was often in the news itself as a result of the sharp and sensational investigative reporting of Michael Isikoff, who broke the story of the relationship between President Clinton and Monica Lewinsky, as well as accounts of alleged controversial interrogation tactics used on detainees at Guantanamo Bay. The magazine was also the target of conservatives who charged liberal bias in its reporting on the John McCain presidential campaign in 2008. Historically, it would appear that Newsweek has striven for balance in its reporting and commentary. While it has been a platform for such liberal journalists as Eleanor Clift, Paul Begala, and Peter Beinart, it has also provided a forum for conservatives like Milton Friedman, Howard Kurtz, and George Will. Here's hoping that as the magazine moves toward its 100th birthday, it will reclaim its place as a respected player in the arena of American journalism. I'm J.D. Reeder. And this is the Reader's Notebook for February 17th, 2015. Write it on your heart that every day is the best day of the year.